Take your swords out electronically or paperal. Father, I have your word, and I believe it's true. Do you really believe that?
I do.
Okay. I'm just wondering if you guys are awake yet. I am what it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Today's message is, we are called to wait. Subtitle, spiritual growth. And do you realize that if you're like me, and I tend to be very impetuous, when I hear the voice of the Lord, I move. And sometimes it's not a good thing to move. As we've gone through this journey together, I make mistakes. I don't wait on God. But the important thing is that in my spiritual walk of 30 years, I've learned that. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've learned to wait. And a lot of you guys are being raised up, have this zeal and this impetuousness, and haven't learned to wait yet. But that's okay. Because I take in everything that you're saying, and I just put it before the Lord, and let those pieces fall into play, so that we can see what He wants to do, not what we want to do. Amen? The important thing is that since the beginning of this year, we have been challenged. We have been challenged in the way we think. We have been challenged in realizing, do I want to grow spiritually? Do I want the church to grow spiritually and numerically? And of course, those easy answers are yes. But the most important question of that so far is, what are we doing to promote that in our lives? You know, it's not a matter of coming here in a shirt and a tie, although the Lord has told me, and leaders know how much it anguishes me that I have to wear this shirt and tie, because I am not a shirt and tie guy. And it reminds me of the early days when we were in a Republican club and we had a visitor come in. And you know what I'm going to say. I welcomed the visitor to come in, and he stood up and he shared a little bit. And I said to him, well, just take the tie off. You'll make me feel a little more comfortable. And he hasn't been back since. That's all I can say. And God has dealt with me in those early years in such a way to understand that I am growing spiritually. I have to do what He tells me to do in order to have Him accomplish His will for in my life and for streams. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes you may think the pastor's not paying attention, or that, you know, this was a real good word. Why isn't he acting upon this right away? And hopefully today, you will begin to understand how important it is for us to wait. You see, what God is doing in the land today is no longer is He doing it with a single man ministry. Okay? He's no longer doing it with an Oasis church. And by that I mean having the Holy Spirit fall on the church, although He still does that. But now what He wants to do in this last day is anoint the full church. The whole church, and nothing but the church. So help us God. Amen? That is what He wants to do. And streams is, I hate to use this, this is so cliche, we are cutting edge of the Spirit. Because we are a church that is not going to be seeker friendly. We are going to be a church that is not denominationalized, marginalized. We are going to be a church that is going to operate with spiritual maturity, doing the things that He commands us to do, uniting the body of Christ, no matter if we're black, white, purple, green, orange, whether we're from Venus or we're from Mars or whatever nonsense. We are going to be actively working in love to unite ourselves together and unite the body of Christ together, whether it's in Williamstown or throughout the world. That is what He has anointed us for. I challenged you guys Not whether you were saved, but whether you were part of the remnant of this end time move of God. And there is a difference, and I explained that difference last week. You see, it's not a matter of salvation. It's a matter of taking it and maturing in your salvation, becoming all that God has predestined you to become, and not waiting to be asked to become something that you already are. And what we are is we are a remnant in the midst of the whole body of Jesus Christ. And as I said to you, not all that call the name of Jesus Christ is Christ. It is this remnant. And this remnant is worldwide. And so I challenge you guys, you know, to, if you don't have a world vision, God's world vision, you need to get it. You really do. You need to get it because it will challenge you where you are mentally, spiritually, to go on and become that which God has called you to through the purposes of the local church. And you see, and it's not us doing our own thing out there, but learning how to, God has given me the gifts and talents to promote streams, to raise it up, to glorify Jesus Christ. And how we can use each and everyone's talent. And I just praise God. Rashima is catching on this greater vision that, you know what, she didn't have to be in her boss's office. But God predestined her to be there to set down some of these things, these transitional things. And I've said to you, well over 6 months, things are going to change. We've gone from a house church to a public worship. And now the time for us to shine is now. We need to grow up. We need to take everything that we've learned and apply it and make it real to our lives. It all goes back to, am I part of the remnant or not? And in all that, people are going to get saved, and they're going to have zeal, and they're going to want to do stuff, and we have to put the bridles of the Lord on to keep us from falling into the trap of going. And you may say, well, Pastor, didn't Jesus say to go and make disciples of the nations? Yes, he did. But I want us to turn to Luke 24, verse 29. And this is the premise of what I want us to understand. The Lord's speaking here. I'm out of the New King James. I'm not out of NIV today. And the Lord says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, that word tarry in the Greek means to wait, in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high. Wait until you're endowed. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm born again. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you have power? Well, now, you know, I got the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I got the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in me. You know, what do I need power for? Well, in Acts 1, Jesus said to the disciples before he ascended from the mount, he said, dwell in the city until power comes upon you, until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this word, witness, is a very interesting word. It's where we get the word martyr from. Are you willing to die for what you believe? Or do you just believe because it's convenient for you right now? Last week in missions, we shared a testimony of a woman who held Bible study and prayer groups in the latrines of her prison because it was the only place that the guards wouldn't come to persecute her or the believers. What are you willing to do for God right now? You see, the days are coming that the convenience of worshiping like this, we're taking for granted. There is a reality that our fathers before us didn't understand because all they thought about was getting people saved. What I think about is about growing you up and preparing you for the Lord's coming so that when He comes, He can see that you're busy in Father's field doing what He's told you and me to do. And then when we're called into account for that, He says, well done, my good and faithful servant, Tom. Well done, my good and faithful servant, Karen. Well done. And I can sit there and be proud of what I've done in making disciples of you to follow Jesus Christ, not me. Too many today believe that the church is where their salvation lies. And that's what Catholicism teaches. Outside the church, you have no salvation. The fact of the matter is, if you're in Jesus Christ, throw all those things away. It only matters if you have a living, loving relationship with the King of Glory. If He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life, then you know that you fill in the blank as kings and lords in this life. That's what you have been predestined to do. You have been predestined to rule and reign as the church. And I said last week that coming to Jesus Christ will not change your circumstances, but He will change your life. And you have to understand that He is preparing us even as we're speaking right now. Too many in the church today have great ideas. They build their churches with programs to draw people to these programs. And they keep putting money into these programs. And what you find is people are wanting. People are looking for something greater. What is that greater that they're looking for? If they can't find it in a program, then what are they doing? After all, it's been church for the last 100 years, right? Well, Streams is not going to be that kind of church. Streams is becoming a relational church. It is a relational church within our local body. It will be relational with other churches, irregardless of the name that they put across the top, because believe it or not, there is a remnant within that denominational body. Hear me. There is a remnant. God has a plan and a purpose in using the remnant. Our job is to find them and work with them. We find that after many weeks or many months, the zeal of this program starts running dry in people's lives. And I find that many in the body of Christ live their lives in such a way in that I've come to Jesus Christ, I've got everything that He wants me to have, therefore, everything is good. And yet we struggle with sin issues, we struggle in our identity, we struggle in trying to know what God wants us to do, and then we say, life is but a struggle. Life is not a struggle. The key for us today in the church is our obedience to what Jesus said must happen first. And He told the church to wait. Wait for what? Wait for who? Wait for a telegram? Wait for a sign, a wonder? Wait for a miracle? Do you not understand you are a miracle? You are. By faith, you receive salvation in Jesus Christ. By faith, you are able to walk in these things. But your faith alone is not going to be enough. Your obedience to do what Jesus tells us to do is going to be paramount in these days. We are waiting for someone to come and empower us. And many churches don't believe in the doctrines that we profess. Turn to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Verse We'll start in verse 1. And I want to show you something that's real important here that we understand. Paul's writing, or the writer of Hebrews, because they're really not sure if it was Paul. I like to say it's Paul because he wrote 2/3 of everything else, so let's give him credit. Paul says here, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Go on to maturity. So these things are basic, okay? These are the things that cause us to grow. And he says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the acts that lead to death. And we all know what repentance is, right? We all know what these acts are that he's talking about. Faith in God. Instruction about baptisms. There's more than one. The laying of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do this. Well, every generation of believer, we have to teach these foundations. It is imperative. But not only teach them, you must put them in your spirit and understand that God loves us so much that salvation was just the door being opened to us. And what he wants to give to us, we have to understand that there's so much more. There is so much that God wants to fill into our lives. And we're stuck on petty things. God, get me a better job. God, I need a higher pay job. God, I need this. God, I need that. Is any of that in here, in the elementary things that we do need? No. And I'm not saying that those things are not important. And that's what Lighthouse Ministry is all going to be, is the body of Christ coming together. We're praying for each other's needs, that God would do stuff. But when the church gets together, what happens when the church gets together? What is the responsibility of the church of Jesus Christ? See, and this is what we have to understand. And today I just want us to look at baptisms. What are these baptisms that we're exhorted to understand? Baptisms, I feel, is probably one of the most important and misunderstood doctrines in the church today. The Bible teaches the 4 baptisms. Who could tell me what they are? Water. Excuse me. Holy Spirit. Fire. Most important one. Before you can get these 3. Baptism or repentance. Okay? Those are the 4. How many of you believe that? Praise God, we got a good start. And I'm going to do a very rudimentary teaching because it's important for us to understand what God is doing in this day and that none of us be left behind. But all of us receive the fullness of what God wants us to have. Baptism, the Greek word is baptizo. It means to immerse fully into a liquid. Okay? So this baby sprinkling that goes on in a lot of churches, is that baptism? Not in a true sense, it's not. Dedication is another thing. And I had a discussion with a couple yesterday about dedicating their baby. And 2 of our congregants are going to be godparents to that child. They don't even know this yet. So I'll let the parents talk to them about it. And it's quite exciting, quite exhilarating for me. Because I get to see another one of Christ's creations enter into the family of God. Let me give you a little overview, personalizing what has happened so that we can think about what has happened to ourselves. And I'll use it, my life as an example. Before I came to Jesus Christ 30 years ago, I walked in the ways of the world. I did everything that the world said and knew. But one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict me of sin. And convict me of my need for a Savior. Is that correct or not? That is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. That's one of His jobs. That's what Jesus said. And so, God would send people into my life, and they would talk to me about Jesus, and I was like, I don't want to know about this Jesus nonsense. You guys are, flaky, your whole nine yards. But then one day I rolled my car down an embankment. And everything that was near and dear to me almost was taken away from me. And I saw God's hand for my life and my family's life. And I committed myself to Jesus Christ January 3rd, 1984, really. That's when it happened. From that time, I delved into the scriptures. I started just eating these scriptures up. I couldn't, the only thing I read was the scriptures. And I wanted to know what I had in Jesus Christ, who I was in Jesus Christ. And soon after that, I became dissatisfied with my life. And the Holy Spirit led me to water baptism. What is water baptism? Good, Tom.
Being immersed
in water. Okay, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And how many of us have been water baptized? We'll get you, brother. I have one here that we chiseled ice off. I had one that we chiseled ice off a hot tub. We did that in the pool too. That's right. And so I identified myself not as Gary Stiles any longer, but as a person, a new creation in Jesus Christ. I no longer wanted to live this sinful life. I wanted to identify with Jesus Christ. And so I became baptized, immersed in water. My old man was left in the water when I was put into the water. And when I rose up in the new creation, the new man that I am spiritually. But I still lacked. I still lacked. What was I lacking? I was lacking the Holy Spirit, but I was also lacking another baptism, of which some of you are going through right now. And that is a baptism of fire. Or as we say, sufferings. Things are going on in your life that you may not understand. And you're kind of like railing around, what is going on? Everything I put my hand to seems to be falling apart. And when it falls apart, I get undone. I get bent out of shape. I curse. I say things to people that is injurious to them. Why? That is part of the purification of my soul. And God's not taken back by it. This is all His plan for you and for me. And some of us find ourselves already in that vat of heat. And He's turned the heat up in our lives. Why? Because His love, He loves you so much, He doesn't want you to remain the same any longer. And so He is consuming the dross of your life, the impurities of the sinful lifestyle that we've had through trials and tribulations. Didn't Jesus say, you'll have tribulations in this world? Didn't He say that? He didn't tell us what the purpose was. Well, I'm telling you what the purpose is. That is for the perfecting of your faith. Peter says, count it all joy when you're in these problems. I don't know about you, but for me, I wasn't counting it all joy. Now I do. I understand now. I've grown up in these things. And this baptism does not stop. It is ongoing. Scripture says, for the purity of the precious metal, how many times is this repeated? 7 times. What does 7 symbolize? Completion or perfection. And so, we're going to get in this group, and it's going to get hot sometimes. And we're going to say things, and we're going to do things. We can't get offended. It's part of the process. But this is what the church stops at. The church doesn't believe there's more. How can you not believe there's more? There's more. God loves you so much that He doesn't want us to lack in any good thing. Every good gift that comes from the Father of lights, from above. Jesus said, how you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much your Father in heaven would give you His Holy Spirit. Amen? How many of us have been baptized in the Spirit? Praise God. Speak in tongues. Praise God. It is not something to be afraid of. It's what your Father wants to bestow upon you as the first fruits of the kingdom. He loves us so much that He wants us to ask for it. How many of us ask, give me your Holy Spirit, God? I didn't know. I remember going to a four-square gospel church, and this boy was part of an eldership of Presbyterians. I was in quick to thaw in that because I called the Presbyterians the chosen frozen. And God was heating me up at that time that I was in full thaw. I was being changed in a twinkling of an eye. I thirst and hunger for God. Still do. 30 years later. You see, we need God's power to do everything in the church. We can't do anything in the church. This didn't happen because I thought it was a great idea. This happened because the Lord spoke to us 10 years ago. Then 5 years after that, He says, I want you to put monies away. He was preparing us all along the way for this. And now the word that He gave us 20 years ago, where He said it will start as a trickle, but it will flow like a stream into a river. And it's happening. It's happening. We need to be endowed with the Spirit. We need to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. John the Baptist even clarified to us, and I'll give you the scriptures, Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, John 1:33, all state the same thing, in which when Jesus was coming to John to be baptized in the River Jordan, what was John's response? Say that again, huh? He said that, but he also said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not even worthy enough to latch the lock on His sandals. But when He comes, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Did he not say that? There is no ministry in the modern church today that will be successful without the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit's job to motivate us, to teach us, to enlighten us, to motivate us to do our own will, right? What do you mean, though? Do the will of God, right? You'll catch on, brother. You keep coming, I'll keep making mistakes on purpose. Amen. To do His will. Do we feel that sometimes we don't know what God is saying to us? Do we sometimes feel inadequate in the things that he does say to us? And do we immediately do what he tells us to do? See, I do. I get in trouble by doing that. You're a lot wiser than I am. Delayed disobedience is still disobedience. Or delayed obedience is still disobedience. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. There are many references, but did you know that the book of Acts is really translated the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit? See, it's his gig. And they were written down for us to learn from. And if they were written down for us to learn from, how important it is for us today to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need power, church. Our prayer lives are but beggarly. We don't pray in the Holy Ghost. We don't use tongues to pray. We're more absent from prayer than we are in anything. And prayer is the vital line of the church. Because that's where the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, because he goes in such deep groanings, Romans 12, that we don't know what to pray. And so in these deep groanings, he searches our hearts and makes known to God through Jesus Christ what we're interceding for. Acts 2:36 and 38, Peter states clearly that the fundamentals for every person to become successful in witnessing for Christ is to repent, be water baptized, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because he tells us the times of refreshing shall come upon us. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He is refreshment to us. Acts 8:12, we see a great revival breaking out in the land because the preaching of the kingdom of heaven. And the Holy Spirit showed up and did many signs and wonders and miracles, delivered people. He healed people. I know Dan and I were part of a fellowship years ago, and the Holy Spirit was trying to break out, trying to pour out. Angels were walking amongst us. The intercessors were seeing these things. Many words were coming. But man got in the way. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to stay out of the way. I want to see the power of God come upon his church and do these things. Not you. You just be vessels to be used by him. Acts 8:4-17, the apostles minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 19:1-6, Paul is ministering the Holy Spirit. And over and over and over again. In Acts 29, the Holy Spirit is going to fall upon the church of Jesus Christ. We are Acts 29. And I'm telling you, that is what's coming. And we need to be ready. We need to be hungry for it. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us and take us where he wants us to go. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 5:8, he delineates in reverse order the importance of the blood, the water, and the Spirit. The blood is a witness of Christ's sacrifice for our sins and is the sovereign work of grace in bringing us to salvation. Water is the witness of God's sovereign work of grace in and upon the heart of man, identifying our lives in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit is a witness of God's sovereign work of grace in releasing the Holy Spirit on us and out of us, total immersion in power. And the only thing that's going to change this world is when they see power. The enemies of God are fast mobilizing upon the Church of Jesus Christ in this country. And people are afraid. What are we going to do? What's going to happen? I don't care. I want the Holy Spirit. I want him to come and ignite us like never before. I want us to be like the 120 was up in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Well, what happened? What happened on the day of Pentecost? Were they out there telling everybody what was to happen? For 40 days after the Lord left, they waited. They waited. They were a persistent prayer. They were in constant togetherness. They were seeking God to pour out His Holy Spirit. And that is the first job of the church, is we come together seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking Him to endow us with power, to do that which He has called the church to do in Williamstown and throughout the world. Now, this seems to be a little too radical for you. There are plenty of churches around here that'll make it safe for you. We are part of a network of pastors and churches that are dangerous. One of the prerequisites for a pastor is to be in jail. That's what we're considering. Are you willing to go to jail for what you believe in? Well, I don't know, Pastor. You know, that may affect my job. My boss may get upset with me. Is it better to upset your boss than your Lord? See, God made a way for me for 30 years. 34 years I worked for South Jersey Gas, and He made a way for me. He had my vocation pay me to study His Word to preach the good news to you guys. For 34 years, He's given me wisdom in which to write things down to teach you the next step. And the vision is too big for me. I will die before this vision comes about. So who is it going to lay on? My sons and daughters in the Spirit to carry this vision. Didn't Moses carry the vision into the Promised Land? Who carried it? Who was his spiritual son? He hung out with Moses. And when Moses left, he still hung out at the tabernacle of meeting with God. I've been trying to tell you that you need to reorganize your priorities. I've been trying to be really nice about it. And those who have not, now you have to deal with God. And some of you are starting to feel the heat. I'm not apologizing for it. This is what you signed up for. Whether you know it or not, this is the end time church. You are the end time warriors who will usher in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in theory, but in magnificence and in glory. He's going to split this eastern sky. He's going to come back. What are you waiting for? We're waiting for power. In summary, when I became saved, I became a new creation. When you became saved, you became a new creation. When I was baptized in water, my old man passed away, and a new creation rose out of the water. That doesn't mean that we don't struggle in certain areas of our lives. It just means that my priorities are kingdom first, not me first. I'm more concerned about what my Father in heaven wants me to do than I am about what I want to do. I don't get to do a lot of things I like to do, because you're in need of me. I've given myself to Jesus Christ to become a gift to you. And part of that gifting is I've paid a price. My family has paid a price. And we will continue to pay the price, because that's what God has called. Fathers do things so that their sons can be successful. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I received power to walk in the ways of the Lord, and sin no longer has dominion over me. I now have power over sin. I can choose to sin or not to sin. And when I choose not to sin, the Holy Spirit empowers me not to sin. Therefore, I become holy as He's holy. I identify myself with my Father in heaven, who is sovereign. It doesn't matter what the nations think or rage about. What matters is, am I part of this remnant that is going to usher in His coming? Am I part of making you disciples for Jesus Christ? Am I doing my job as a shepherd in leading you to places where you can graze and fill yourself up with the Word of God and walk this thing out? And we have people in the body of Christ that never touch their Bible. They've got everything that God wants them to have, except the Holy Spirit's power. We will wait, not today, but we will wait. Our personal intercession should be, we want the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to come and baptize us as the church. And if you read the Acts, you see that when Peter was put in prison, who was praying? Was one person praying? Two people? It was the church in Jerusalem was praying for the deliverance of Peter. But not just Peter's deliverance, praying God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God sent an angel, smacked Peter upside his head because he was asleep, like most of us. We were asleep at our duty. Said, come on, boy, we're out of here. And Peter goes, oh, that sounds like a great idea. And he left. And he went to where the church was praying, and he knocked on the door. And a little girl answered the door, and she slammed the door on him and ran back and told him. They said, who's that? Oh, that's Peter. Peter's in jail. No, that's Peter. He's sitting at the door. And they said, well, let him in. And she went and let him in. Church, we need to stop trying to figure out what the next step is. We need to be obedient to what we already know. And Jesus said, wait. Wait until power comes upon the church. Wednesday, we're going to be dealing with apostolic and prophetic intercessory prayer. That is not what intercessory prayer is. It is the next level. We are to grow up into all things in Jesus Christ. And I exhort you to be there. This is for the church, not just for individuals. This is for the church. We need to find out what His will is. We know His plan, but we want to know what His will is in the next steps to take it. He's already going to use Rashima and help us learn to transition this ministry from house church to public church. And you all have a part in this. All of you do. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You it cuts our hearts. It challenges us, God. I thank You for the revelation that the Holy Spirit has given to us today. Holy Spirit, come. You are welcome here. Come and ignite us. Ignite us anew. Baptize us in complete power. make your presence a reality here, that when we go to the highways and byways and compel them to come, part of that compulsion is to see in power the demonstration of your kingdom, Lord Jesus. Confirm the word by the preaching, and we will give you the glory. And all God's people said, Amen.